Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome to episode 10 of season 2. If you just joined, this is Maria at Maria the Arcane on Instagram, and I'm joined by Robin at A Tired Witch on Instagram.
Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Why is it so funny to me? So, before we get into lunar phases, I have two announcements. The first one is Maria and I both want to extend a huge thank you. Kiss you right on the lips, assuming you're consent, of course. air kisses otherwise. To everybody who has left a review for our podcast on Apple Podcasts, we broke 100. We're at 102 as of this recording, and we're both so grateful. So thank you.
Yes, we are. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, it's. I know that it can be really inconvenient to do that, so we just really want to say thank you because it helps the podcast in, you know, a free and, I don't know, easy way.
Mm-hmm. Accessible. It pushes us up at the top of the list for the witchy list, so more top. People see us.
The top of the top.
Where we belong.
Oh, yeah, we're the top. Yeah, pretty much our dicks are huge, is what I'm trying to say. Not really. But thank you, seriously, you guys.
They are.
Well, Maria says. I have a baby dick. The other thing I wanted to announce before we get into lunar phases is that if you didn't hear in the last episode or somehow you missed it, part two this week, we are doing a special thing per Discord request and Twitter request, which is that we are having my husband on for part two, and we're doing an Ask a Normie series. So we have a shit ton of questions that we're going to ask him. He's not a practitioner at all, and we're going to see what his answers are, but then we're going to try to seriously answer as many as possible the following week. So this is a fun one, and then we're gonna see if what he says. I think it's gonna be funny. He's funny, so
yeah. I completely agree.
So, and that's for everybody who's in the casting tier and up. So, or no, actually, I think I'm opening this to every tier, actually. So every single tier can hear this special part too. You just have to be a member of the Patreon. So Jeez. If you join, you'll get to hear my idiot husband answering fun questions. And I think it's going to be great.
Oh, it's going to be amazing.
It's going to be really good, I think. Yeah, bless him. He really does try. He tries to listen. So I think there's going to be a degree here of like him being mostly right. But then I think that part where he's not right is going to be so wrong. I haven't given him any of the pre-questions either. And there is 12 of them, I think. So I'm really excited to see what he says.
Same.
So moving on from that now. For this week, we have got an upcoming lunar eclipse, and that's what I'm going to talk about. We have the lunar eclipse in Sagittarius on May 26th. And with this lunar eclipse, if you are in the southern hemisphere or, like, I believe Western Asia, mm-hmm. you should be able to get a total eclipse, where the northern hemisphere and anybody who's listening from the Americas or, like, Europe will get a partial eclipse. And with this, we have special energies. So on May 26th, with the lunar eclipse in Sagittarius, we are looking at energies of impatience, impulsiveness, needing attention excessively, like being somebody who...
hey, Hey,
it's a bit of an attention seeker. Listen, that's listen. That's my life, okay? Like, I've said it a million times, self-drag. There's a reason that I am almost 32 and have blue hair. I like attention. But we're seeing violence, aggressive, fear of the unknown, fear of communication. And I know that all those things sound really negative. So this is when we get to redirect the narrative. So if we're in situations where we're having a lack of focus, if we're having neediness for attention or impatience, impulsivity, all these things, we can use magic essentially to work on spellcraft that is tackling these sort of negative aspects for ourselves. Try to take, you know, a lemon and make lemonade. It isn't to say, of course, that, like, I know we've talked about this for another podcast. I do want to stress that I'm not trying to say that people around you are going to be violent or aggressive or have these sort of things. I know that places like TikTok have a lot of creators that fear monger. If you listen, I know I'm doing Twitch now with Temperance. And the last one per when we're recording this, I don't know if Temp and I will have done a video by now, but I called a creator out by name and I was like, this person is fear mongering, stop listening to them. So unless you were there, you don't get to know what that was. But it is true. There is a lot of fear mongering on things like social media that, yes, these energies come up, but that doesn't mean that it's going to bring up your trauma that is spiritual gaslighting and bypassing. And so that's what we're not going to do today. Yeah. Instead, we can use these sort of energies to tackle the insecurities and bad things that are happening potentially in our lives. So flip the script, right?
Yeah. So Sagittarius is my moon. And so whenever when the actual moon rolls around, I get like very restless and I feel like, I start being super nostalgic for the past, like places I have visited. Cause you know, Sagittarius is such a big travel sign and wanting to go different places. And I don't know. It's like, I want to do all the traveling, which is not necessarily great to be like, I'm going to plan a trip during the full moon. What could go wrong?
Nothing. The answer is nothing. But that's
probably what's going to happen.
Well, you know what I just realized too? Is not only is there a lunar eclipse on the 26th. This is, you guys, spoiler for next episode. On the 10th, there's a solar eclipse. So, of June. So,
hell yes,
a lot of eclipses, guys.
Eclipse season.
Is it? Is that a thing?
I don't know. It might be. Worst witches ever.
Anyway, so thanks for listening to our podcast, everyone. We know you'll never be back.
So, if you just started listening to us, every podcast we talk about a random tarot card. We go over the universal meaning and then our own interpretations of the cards. Hearing others' opinions helps beginners form their own opinions, or even those who have been practicing for a while expand their views on other meanings. So, this week we're going to talk about the Page of Swords. On this card, you will see big fluffy clouds behind our page, birds in the sky, trees and mountains in the background. There is a lot of movement in this card. You can tell it is windy because the page's hair is flowing in the wind and the grass beneath their feet looks windswept, but they're staying still through all of this. The universal keywords of this card are curiosity, new ideas, communication, and education. So for myself, I see the pages in tarot as apprentices in the deck. They are eager to learn and explore in their suits. Pages have like very big ace-like energy. And one of the key difference between aces and pages is that we are beginning to put a little bit more energy behind those intentions. This particular page deals like with new ideas, taking charge, communication, and even sometimes mental health. When it pops up in readings for myself, it almost always shows a need to be patient with oneself as you learn to get your ideas off the ground, or even when you are trying to take charge of your mental health. Additionally, while we are being patient with ourselves, we also need to do our best to go with the flow. It asks us to keep implementing our ideas and to learn from the experiences from doing so. Your ideas and thoughts are worth exploring, but it will take some time to find your groove. When it comes to communication, it shows that our page has come up against some resistance. Just because your voice goes against the tide doesn't mean it shouldn't be expressed or heard. And this also applies to opening yourself up to learning from others. There is value in sharing your thoughts because sharing our individual knowledge helps us grow. So how do you view this card, Robin, dear?
So this card for me, first of all, once again, I agree with you on almost everything you said. So I know, I think we're 3-for-3 right now.
I think the world's ending.
I know.
There's a glitch season. In the Matrix.
It's the eclipse season. but when I see this card, it is a reminder. It actually reminds me a lot of the 8 of Pentacles. Mm-hmm. And it's very much so to me like a start of a journey kind of a thing. It's an apprenticeship card. It is the beginning of learning. You know, you need to have that patience like you talked about. Mm-hmm. But it also tells us that, like, you know, if you take the Page of Swords as a literal image where you see this young person holding a sword, let's take it, you know, literally, they're learning to fight with swords, right? They're learning mm-hmm. and they're training. They're going to drop their swords sometimes because that's part of the learning process. Don't get mm-hmm. overly frustrated with yourself because you haven't mastered this skill right away. Just pick your sword back up. You know, what did we learn from this? What can we take from this moving forward and apply it to continue to grow and continue to learn? Similarly, because it is a younger person with a sword, I do see this card come up sometimes in situations with gossip. Mm-hmm. And I take it as like a... I'm trying to think of the right word here. The person holding the sword to stab you in the back. mm-hmm. That's the kind of energy that we're seeing there. Petty gossip, chat, being chatty, backstabby, being a spy and intel. But mm-hmm. But generally speaking, I very much so see it as that having patience with yourself, being kind to yourself as you continue to learn and continue mm-hmm. to press forward on your ideas and general... I don't know the word I'm looking for. General creativity and forward motion. mm-hmm. It's just, you're going to drop the sword sometimes. Pick it up. Learn from it. Keep going. Don't lay down and die.
I love that. That's so good.
I'm like really good at metaphors.
So, sidebar. Eclipse season is a thing.
You looked it up.
It repeats in cycles of 173 days.
Well, there you go. See, we knew that, actually. Maria and I actually knew that. We both actually knew that perfectly. So, so if any doubt you had, you're actually the bad person for doubting us. I just gaslit all of our listeners. I'm so sorry. Oh my gosh. Whoopsie daisy. So, this week, Maria and I decided that we are going to talk about our favorite witchy books. I'm pretty sure, didn't you say that this was a request on your Instagram?
Yes, it was. I thought it would be fun.
Yeah, I think it's totally fun. So that is what we are going to talk about. So right off the bat, Em, what are your favorite books?
So I want to start that I am a reference book co. I love coming up with my own spells, and most of my craft revolves around hearth and home. So correspondences are a very important part of my craft. It's a ritual witch I am not. Anyways, so my first book I want to talk about is the Llewellyn's Complete Book of Correspondences by Sandra Keys. I think
it's so hard for this book, you guys.
I am. Oh my God. I feel like this book should be a staple in almost every witch's library. It's just an amazing resource. There are like sections for different correspondences, such as working with, let's say, with like power. There's a section for that. And if you want to use cinnamon, but not sure what spell it would fit, there's a section for that. There's also a crystal section, wood section, and so many others. Now, a lot of witches are thrown off by like the minuscule negative reviews of the book. And when I say minuscule, I mean it. This book has a very high rating, but some witches are thrown off by them regardless. These reviews say that the correspondences miss the mark, but my lovely creatures, he will never, ever, ever agree 100% with a book.
Especially with this specific book like 400 times.
I know.
You know, well, that doesn't go like, with my personal beliefs, and so therefore it's wrong. It's like, no,
that's... exactly. Yeah, I mean, this book is humongous. It's filled with many, like, this book is contemplation of many witches' opinions gathered from many different books. Yes. And you know, I actually find that the correspondences most of the time are on the mark in the book. But I think a lot of people like freak out because this book disagrees with Cunningham a lot. And Cunningham is such
Cunningham is not a god, just for the record.
Yeah. But, you know, personally, I disagree with a lot of his opinions on correspondences. But again, I am my own witch, and that's what's important here.
And also, do remember, and take this for what you will, but just in life in general, there's a certain type of person who will go and write a 2 or 3 star review. Usually, if you got a 5 star review, it's because you love the book, or even a 4 star, you loved the book, right? Mm-hmm. If you got a 1 star review, it's because the book was shit. It was absolutely shit from start to finish, right? Mm-hmm. Although some people will leave 1 star reviews over the dumbest things possible, like artwork.
The dumbest.
Let's not even get into that.
Yeah.
Not that I'm making this about me, but anyway.
Oh, I am.
So you've got, their opinions are valid though, but the type of person to leave a 2-star, 3-star review and give like these mixed reviews, like, so the book was neither bad nor good in their opinion, but they just have to say something. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And they usually only point out the negative. They don't even go into like what they enjoyed about it.
I agree.
It's frustrating. So the next book is... Oh, do you want to take turns? Like,
no,
you
go ahead. I know that I sidebarred there, and I feel bad that I threw you off.
Important conversation to have. So especially when you're researching what books you want to read. I like the Encyclopedia of 5,000 Spells by Judica Illis is amazing. I love Judica Illis witch books so much. I think she is absolutely brilliant. This book has been a staple in my library since I was a teen. Any spell you could ever think of or want is most likely in this book. They range from like super simple to complicated to esoteric. I never follow a spell in this 100%, though, because I love to put my own flourishes on them, but I love getting inspiration from it. There are a few closed practice spells in there, so keep that in mind, so be mindful. Judica is usually pretty good saying they are from certain practices like hoodoo, voodoo, that sort of thing.
I agree.
So, and then my next book is Hearth Witch's Kitchen Herbal. So I just got this, and let me say, I love it. It has so many useful tips if you want to dive into kitchen witchery. There are directions on how to make tinctures, salves, infused oils, herbal vinegars, and even herbal honey. The main-ish part of the book talks about herbs you'd find in any kitchen pantry and their properties along with some recipes. I mean, it's just a great book if you, you know, like reference books like I do. And my final book is Mysteries of the Dark Moon by Demetria George. This book will come in handy. So good. Oh my God. This book will come in handy if you want to feel inspired to do shadow work. Demetria is like one of those writers that can truly transport you to a magical place through their through writing. Even though it's informative text, it has really helped me own my own shadow self and you really just keep up the work. And I do want to warn, though, this book does tend to come off very femme-centric, but I've talked to many witches with many different, you know, like non-binary and masculine presenting and all that, but they still find it very, very helpful.
I thought you were just about to say, but don't worry, I have many femme friends and they say that it's fine.
Well, they do. I'm just kidding. It just, it does talk about like periods and how aging for women and femme-centric beings is harder because we're supposed to, you know, be presented in a certain way. So aging is like scary because we're losing our quote unquote beauty and, you know, whatnot. But yeah. Anyways, how about you? What are your books?
So I said this in our little notes because Maria and I are very organized, everyone. We have a note section before we start anything. I know you're really impressed. But
so impressed.
most of my favorite books are actually older and they need to be taken not out of context, but they need to be taken within the context of the period at which they were written in. First of all, I absolutely recommend Witch by Lisa Lister. Such a good book because I hate men and anybody who is not cis. I'm just kidding, everyone. Please do not put your pussy to the earth, as that book actually says. That was a joke. That was a joke. Fuck that book.
Worst ever.
Maria actually just got done putting her pussy to the earth, so that's why she was making that grunting noise. So first of all, I want to say that every book that Maria recommended, I also really enjoy, especially for reference books. I mirror all of that, especially Judith Isles. I think that she is brilliant. But, okay, my favorite books. I really like Drawing Down the Moon. I think that that is a great book that everyone should read early on in their practice. Again,
so
though,
good.
Like I said in the beginning, please do take into context at which the book was written. Because there are some problematic language uses in the book. So remember that. In the 1980s, when the book was written, it was the 80s, right? I think it was like 83.
Yeah, possibly 70s.
I think so.
It might have been 80s.
You know, people weren't as aware, let's say, of the types of language that was used, etc. So there's also a little bit of the touching on the masculine and feminine energies in that book. And do remember that they are referring to energies and duality and not actual genders, which is a problem that I have seen people get upset about. And they're allowed to be upset about that. But it is, they're also putting the duality energies into actual genders and not the metaphor it's supposed to be. And I agree, the metaphor could be better. It could be better. But in the 80s, this is where we were. Other books I really like. One of my favorite books that I read in the last couple of years was Apocalyptic Witchcraft. The author is Peter Gray, I believe. Yes. Which I think this book is really interesting. It is kind of like a modern take on witchcraft and being, I'm trying to find the right word here, an advocate, being somebody who is aware. I would say it's almost an advanced book in a sense. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
I haven't read it myself, so I'm just listening. Okay.
But it talks about like Sabbat and the Wild Hunt as though they are living experiences. It talks about ritual practice, dream interpretation, and critical thinking, etc., and kind of just taking witchcraft and reapplying it in a modern take. At least that's how I read the book. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great read. I think everyone should read Apocalyptic Witchcraft. Another book that I really like is, I'm actually going to hype up my own friend here, so everybody who listens to this is going to be like, oh, shut up. But Temperance's book, Year of the Witch, was fucking incredible. Mm-hmm. It was so good. Like, did you read it?
No.
You haven't read it yet? It's really good. She basically talks about things like budget-friendly witchcraft, talking about working with the land that you're on. She's an animist herself, and so she kind of applies her animistic viewpoints to like the Wheel of the Year and just kind of making your own correspondence and craft. And I thought it was really good.
That sounds
partially
amazing.
Because that's how I view things. So perhaps one could say that I was a little biased.
No, it sounds really good. I really need to get through my witchy, like, to be read pile. There's so many books.
Started. Wiser just sent me like 8 books. And I'm like, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. I don't know when I'm going to get through this. So another book I can think of that's really good is The Spiral Dance.
Oh, yes. Love that one.
So good. By Starhawk.
So good.
That is another book that you need to go into it, remembering it was written in the 1980s. There is some problematic language used. However, the general message that is being presented throughout the book is incredible.
Although she was kind of like advanced for her time, because there is this one section of the book I might be like miss. I don't know. Maybe my memory's gone because I haven't read this book in a while. But like this one part, she was talking about basically like non-binary people, I think, and even like, you know, how, because she discussed the feminine and masculine aspects and how, you know. Oh gosh, what am I trying to explain? But how just, you don't have to be like 100, it's just about touching base with those, but you don't have to present that way. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I do. It does make sense. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. But I was like, I remember reading that and be like, oh, okay. But go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're good. My last favorite book that I'm going to bring up is not technically a witchcraft book, but it is a book that I read when I was a teenager and then reread again as an adult. That this is very woman centric, so I am apologizing in advance. I'm not meaning to exclude men or thems with this book, but Women Who Run with the Wolves. A book on the myths and stories of like the wild woman archetype. And although it is not specifically a witchcraft book, it is a book that re-centered me at least many times at this point with just kind of who I am and that I am valid, I guess you could say. And that this kind of feral woman, this idea of this woman who doesn't fit society's standards or whatever, is an endangered species, and that even though that might be the case, that is still something that has cropped up throughout many different cultures and parts of history, etc. And I just think it's a really cool recount, especially the myths and stuff like that. And yeah, I really like it. I like that book. It made it for me was very, I don't know, centering in who I am why I'm the mm-hmm. way I am. And
it's very inspirational.
It's very inspirational. It's not going to be a book that everybody is going to dig. So I think mm-hmm. that is a important acknowledgement on my part to make. it's not going to settle with everyone. And that doesn't mean it's because it's controversial. It's because it is very woman-centric. And mm-hmm. male and non-binary practitioners are just as valid. And I literally hate that it's even a discussion, like, on the internet mm-hmm. about what is and what isn't valid. I think that's fucking dumb. So I don't want to, like, even accidentally contribute to that. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a good book. And I think that everybody can benefit from learning about, like, the history of wild women. The mm-hmm. author is, like, a PhD grad in yeah. this, like, you know, niche. It's very good. Mm. Trying to think if I can think of any other books that I think are really good that we haven't touched base on. But I just
so many.
There are so many. Oh, another one, Holistic Tarot. That's a great book.
Yes.
And the 78 Degrees of Wisdom. Those are both tarot books, but
yes.
Great reference books. Great points.
Love tarot books.
Me too. I haven't read it yet, but I've skimmed it, so that's basically like reading it, right? Teresa yeah. Reed, who I have a lot of respect for, she is the tarot lady. She mm-hmm. wrote a book that came out last year. I have it. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but this is why I've skimmed it. But she did a tarot book yeah. called No Questions Asked, and mm-hmm. it looks incredible, and everything I've heard about it is really good. So that's another one, but I could go on with tarot books all day. That should be a whole separate episode.
And another favorite book of mine is Robin's book.
Oh, stop. You're too kind. The artwork sucks, yes. though. And I'm not bitter about it. I'm not bitter about that Goodreads reveal.
It's beautiful. I'm not bitter about that Goodreads
reveal. It's fine.
I'm bitter for you.
You know what? If you don't like my book, I think that's totally valid and fair. Like, it's not going to sit with everybody. My book is essentially...
But that's the thing. We're like, people don't understand. You're not going to agree with every witch and how they practice. Totally. Like, you can't be like, this book sucks because I disagree.
Right. My book is the esoteric symbolism, and then the rest of it is UPG. And the thing is that when you're dealing with unverified personal gnosis, it's not everybody's gonna mm-hmm. agree with it, and like I'm okay with that, but to insult my artwork, that was unnecessary. Please.
Leave it alone.
Be kind, please. So rude. It honestly read like rude. They just don't like me. Which maybe they don't. That's fair. They're allowed to not like me. That's okay.
That is not okay.
True. I'm fucking fantastic. Everyone should like me. No, I'm just kidding.
The Stay Supreme humble queen. Slips out. Everyone's sitting in.
Well, I think that's all of them. Can you think of any other books you want to talk about?
No, not right now. I'm sure it'll be brought up again in the future.
Again, Lisa Lister's book. Maria loves it, guys. She cannot get enough. Oh my god. We should do a whole episode on like the worst things we've read in witchcraft books. I'll start.
That would be so much fun.
We should do that, actually. Can I quote the Harmony Nice book where she said Gerald Gardner is essentially the daddy of Wicca? Like, what?
Excuse?
Oh, yeah, we should do that. All right. We'll put a pin in that. We'll do that another time.
So, Robin, what is stirring your cauldron this week?
First of all, I'd like to point out that I think you would make a great phone sex operator.
Thanks.
You could be like that midnight. Like, are there hot young singles in your area? That could be you. And I don't even know why you're wasting your energy on other things.
I know, right?
Are you ready to jerk off?
Rolling in the dough.
Are you ready to jerk off with strangers on the phone?
Oh, are you my ready?
Anyway, what's stirring my cauldron is that. No, just kidding. what is stirring my cauldron this week, other than Dream Daddy, for those of you who have been watching my Twitch stream, because I'm going to fuck that dad. The other thing that's stirring my cauldron this week is research. I've been, like, back at it again. I know that I've said this a bunch of times, but, like, with my pregnancy, I was just dead for several months. Mm-hmm. And I am feeling alive. I am feeling good. And I've been researching it and rereading again. I'm almost done with American Brujeria. Oh, that was another book I forgot to say that I like, was Magia Magia. Well, oh well, too late. Anyway, but I'm like doing that again, and I am tackling research for a new project that shan't be described. But I'm very excited. I'm also really excited because we are starting book club in Patreon. I'm really jazzed mm-hmm. about that. I don't know if you got the book, if you're going to do it with us, Em.
I am going to do it.
I'm
I
still so excited. For those of you who are in the Patreon or aren't in the Patreon and you want to know what that's about, we're reading Six Ways by Aiden Watcher. And I'm really excited because I've heard incredible things about this book. And I follow Aiden on Twitter and I just have a lot of respect for him. So I am excited to read this book. And hopefully it's as good as I think it's going to be. I guess we'll find out.
Yes.
But I'm really excited. I'm excited to be reading again and like having the mental capacity to do it. And like, I know that's so corny, but I literally couldn't read. Like, I literally could not focus.
Cause yeah. I am doing the same. Like, I'm reading a lot and researching a lot. Like, any spare time I have, I'm reading.
There was like 4 or 5 months there where I was struggling so hard to focus to read that I had to switch to audiobooks. And for me, I don't enjoy, I mean, audiobooks serve a purpose, of course, but I don't enjoy it because I am fully a dog ear, highlight, annotate person. And so, excuse me. So not being able to, you know, do that in my books while I was reading them, listening to them, whatever, it just made it a less fulfilling experience for me. So having the mental capacity to be able to like dive into books again has been really exciting for me. And I am really jazzed about it. Just in time for me to pop out a kid and be so exhausted I won't be able to read. Universe.
That is so funny.
But I am really jazzed about it. I'm so excited. And like, I'm so blessed. Wiser just sent me 8 books in the mail. 8 books. So I have like a whole pile of shit to read.
So you're saying that your bus is basically a tarot decks and books now. Got it.
And baby shit. Yeah.
And baby shit.
My husband has no space in this bus anymore. He has been like designated to a corner. Poor man. We love him so much for his patience and his willingness to give up just any sense of personal self for the people in his life. He has his bike stuff though. So the difference is that my stuff is like, it takes up a lot of space, but it all is like, my hobbies are like individually far less expensive, and his hobbies take up a little bit of space, but are like individually far more expensive. So it balances out. There's balance here. It just looks like there isn't. That's I'm sure matters. He's going to come on part 2 and be like, actually, I'm taken advantage of. Please, somebody help.
Absolutely.
So, Maria, what's not stirring your cauldron this week?
See, you do have such a sexy, sexy voice when you do that. You could be a phone sex operator, too. So,
you're going to tell me, tell me about hot and sexy moms in my area who are down to fuck. I'm going to tell you, you know, that there's a 2-for-1 in Applebee's right now.
Both are same energy, okay? I'm just kidding. but I digress. So, I've just started reading up on deities and spirits again. I've been working with like Hecate for the longest time, and I feel that I felt like it was time to expand my horizons a bit. And let me tell you, people trying to justify bad behavior or using gods to spread like their personal agendas is what is definitely not stirring my cauldron this week. Now, I'm not like talking about in present tense, but throughout history, you have to kind of read between the lines to find the true nature of certain deities or spirits. Mm-hmm. And it's just such a pain in the butt. It's just so, because you have to keep reading. You have to read different material. And I don't know. It's something. But
yeah.
So there's this interesting book called The Alphabet Versus the Goddess. And it shows how writing actually warped perceptions of deities or was used as a means to erase certain deities. Basically showing one of the ways how women and the femme-centric beings started to be treated poorly due to toxic masculinity agendas in spirituality. It all started because of, writing and people using the written word to put down other people. And so, though it isn't talked about in this particular book, even like I feel masculine presenting gods were also warped and twisted for personal gain in the past as well. But anyways, it just makes things so much difficult to find the true essence and energy of certain deities and spirits. And as I mentioned, you just have to keep reading as much as possible and dig through all the personal agendas to find a deity's core so you can finally start to feel like you can work with them because you understand them. But yeah, that's what's not stirring my cauldron.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Oh, okay. Did you hear that?
Yes, hello, baby.
Bimo says hi to everybody as well. But not too off that. That is very annoying. And I think that you are fully valid in that because I have been noticing it cropping up as well. And it is becoming this, I don't know, like a blanket excuse for things. Like I can be a shitty person mm-hmm. because, and that's never okay. It's absolutely mm-hmm. never okay.
Yeah. Well, and then they like draw up on like particular stories they've heard. And it's like, but who wrote that story? I don't right. think the deity sat down and penned it themselves.
Well, like, you can't prove that actually. Actually.
But it's just. And then I feel like there's also, I don't know, especially and sometimes with the Greeks and even like in most recent writings, like they make the deity so perverse and like sexually deviant, like when they weren't originally that way. And it's just like, okay, it's fine to like own your sexuality, but they do it to the point where it's gross because it brings up like, unfortunately, things like pedophilia and all that. Yeah. And it's just disgusting.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. And we could get into this about a whole bunch of different things, and I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do it, Robin, because this is not my soapbox. But like the whole God spousing thing. I'll share my soapbox. The God spousing thing. What the fuck's wrong with you? Anyway, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. We're walking away.
Yes.
But yeah, I completely agree with you. So
thank you.
I think that's a fair thing to be annoyed about this week.
Yes. Thanks.
Just like every single week or episode, I guess, we do this intro. You know it's coming. I know it's coming. But we're going to say it anyway because it hasn't stopped. It's been over a year and it hasn't stopped. And that's embarrassing. Not for you, listener.
Embarrassing.
Not for me. Not for Maria. But for the people who just keep doing it. Anyway, I'm going to make a PSA like on Instagram. Anyway, doesn't matter. Every week we talk about creators that we are loving right now. Shit that we saw on the internet that we think is fucking cool. We think that maybe you're going to think it's cool. This is stuff that we have found organically. We went, chef's kiss, 12 out of 10, love it. And if you send shit to us like, hey, Robin@coffeeandcauldrons, this is an actual email I got. Hey, Robin@coffeeandcauldrons, I think you'd really like to promote this fucking, what was this, psychic dating site. Was the latest one. And I was like, I think I wouldn't actually. Thank you. That's why we have a Patreon. People who support the Patreon keep us from needing to have any stupid ass freaking HelloFresh ad or psychic dating hotline ad in the middle of this. If you send us shit unorganically, you're going to make me want to blow my eyeballs out. Just my eyeballs. I never want to see again. That's what I'm looking for. So don't do that. Please. That was a minute and a half. And
that and it was me, graphic.
It ended with me describing exploding my own eyeballs.
You're doing this to your mother.
So on that note, Maria, who are you loving this week?
So on Instagram, I'm loving the account Kitchen Ghosts. So this is not necessarily a witchy like account, but like their images, like, I don't know, it just invokes like a sense of like kitchen witchery. And also like the things in their photo are very like, they're mixing something in a bowl, but nothing, like there's no hand mixing it into the bowl. It's you know, quote, you know, a ghost mixing it.
Is Wiccan cooking, Wiccan cuisine? Yeah, Wiccan cuisine. It reminds me of Wiccan cuisine, but with like special effects
without hands.
Yeah,
like it's really neat. Like you have to go through each of their like little videos, because that's all they do is videos. They don't really do images. It's just a continuous like GIF, I guess. I don't know how to describe it.
No, I know what you're talking about.
Really, really neat. And they're beautiful. All the shots are extremely gorgeous. And I just highly recommend going and looking through everything, especially if you're like, I want some kitchen witchery, you know, inspo. Mm-hmm. But yeah. So who are you loving?
So I'm loving not a creator per se. I talked to Maria about this beforehand. There is an account that is called Max Melancholy, and their account is just like a normal account. However, they made a seraph cake for their birthday. And if you know me at all, you know that there is nothing that I love more than biblical angel shit. I think it's great. Rings of fire, 1,000 eyeballs and wings. I'm here for it. Okay. I think that's incredible. So the fact that they made a biblical angel birthday cake for themselves, when I tell you I've never been more jealous of anything in my entire life, I shared this on my Instagram. I will share it again to the Coffee and Cauldrons Instagram. The most incredible fucking thing I've ever seen in my entire life. It stopped me dead in my tracks. I'm so happy I got to witness it with my eyeballs, and I think you should too. So that is what I'm loving this week, is a single cake. Max Melancholy, you did a great job. You made this tired witch so very cool. Happy.
Love it.
Yeah. Thank you all for joining us here today. As a final reminder, I promise this isn't going to be... Well, I can't promise. The episode's over. It's done. If I've been annoying, oh well. Here you are. But don't forget that this week we've got a special part two that is going to be asking a normie that I think is going to be fucking hilarious. So if you're a part of the Patreon, it's going to be available to all tiers, regardless if it's $1 or $100. You should go over there so you can listen to it. And then we're going to be answering them for real next week. We hope that we will see you guys on Friday, May 28th for our next episode, episode 11 of season 2. So keep an eye out on our Instagrams and on our Twitter. You've got Coffee Cauldrons on Twitter and Coffee and Cauldrons Pod on Instagram for more information.
Or even better, joining us on our Discord tier, which is First Coven on Patreon, so we can answer your questions next time.
Yes. Why do I do that so creepy every time? Yes. You'll even get to hear our lovely voices for an additional 30-ish minutes per episode for being on the Patreon tier, casting it up.
Again, this is Coffee and Cauldrons.
With Robin from At a Tired Witch on Instagram.
And I'm Maria from Maria the Arcane on Instagram.
All right, you ready?
You ready? Yeah.
I feel like last time we did really well, but I feel like I say that every time.
All right, ready? We'll do it well again. Ready.
One. Two.
Two.
Three.
Three. Witches!
Oh my god.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.